This is Cantley Hill Plantation, and that's Rat. And we're in the woods and striding through some nettles here, Chris.
Yes, Matthew. I've been... we did stoats on last week's Countryside podcast. I thought we'd look at some of the prey species that the stoat regularly catches. And all along the front edge of this area of woodland, as you said, Cantley Hill Plantation on the OS map, 12 acres of quite mature woodland, the rabbits are out every evening in quite large numbers. We've got six very distinct warrens here at High Ash Farm where the rabbits live in quite considerable numbers, plus dotted all over the farm, individual families. But the warrens, there's not a warren smaller than 50 rabbits population. So I reckon on the square mile of High Ash Farm, there's around 600, 650 rabbits in total. They have got myxomatosis, but most of them are clear of that at the moment. So I thought it would be quite good fun to film some of the adult rabbits and also all the juveniles which are born at this time of the year and they're now venturing out of the warren in huge numbers. So I had the camera down on the front of the wood here and three nights running, there wasn't a rabbit. And I thought I'd have a job to work this out. And on one of the videos, something flashed past the camera. And so I took the camera into the office first thing in the morning when Daniel arrives for work. And I said, I've got one or two of the videos. Could you just check to see what this is? It's too big for a stoat, which is about 12 inches long from tip of nose to tip of tail. It could be a polecat, which is about 15, 18 inches long, which is kind of related to ferrets, really. And you do have polecat ferrets, but it was so quick, I couldn't notice it. So he manages to freeze a frame on the video. And I was quite shocked. It was a six-week-old fox cub, only about 8, 9 inches long. So what's happened is, a family of foxes have moved here. The vixen's given birth, which they do towards the end of April, early May. But normally the fox cubs would stay really close to their earth where they've been born, and they just wait for mum to bring some food back to them and also to suckle them. But these ones are quite adventurous and they're running around in this area learning their territory. So last night, I popped the camera just up the hill where we're now going to walk, in amongst the nettles. I hope your trousers are reasonably thick enough, because the nettles will actually sting through denim. So I'm pretty pleased you haven't worn your shorts on this week. And we'll have a little look, because this area is well kind of excavated with rabbit burrows, and you've got to be a bit careful.
It's got the telltale sand that's been kicked up.
Yes. A big step here.
It's an old hole. Getting towards the top of the bank here. Through the undergrowth and up. Here we are, a large excavation.
Yes. About 3/4 or even a ton of sand. But it wasn't originally dug by the foxes who have taken over this. It was one of the badger sets here at the farm, and the badgers have had to move further down the hill. There's two or three badger cubs just through all the vegetation down there. And this large mound here, this particular entrance to the badger set, as was, is taken over by a vixen, and she's got four cubs. So I had the camera exactly where Rat is standing, and I popped it there last night. And I think I will have it here certainly till Saturday evening. The podcast goes out on Sunday. And I'll see if I can get some daylight pictures of the fox cub. And you can see where they've been venturing off. There's a track through the nettles just under there, very distinct. And Rat has also followed one of the tracks, and he's disappeared through there. He's a bit of a lightweight, so if we hear some whimpering, He's probably been stung by nettles, but he's quite interested in this area, and very noticeably he's not going to go down that foxhole there. He has what I call field craft, and he has a few sort of notches, as you would have on the bedpost, but they're on his nose, where he's learnt lessons the hard way and been bitten many years ago. But he's very sensible and very well behaved.
He's got his nose to the ground here.
He has. So, quite interesting that those young fox cubs, just a few weeks old, are already venturing out, learning about their territory. And as summer progresses, which we're in now, they start to go further and further. So, say there's two male cubs there. They're called dog foxes, and the adult male's also called a dog. And then you've got the females, which are called young vixens, and also the mum, who's also called a vixen. And perhaps the adult dog fox and vixen will stay in this particular territory, although it's rich in food for them, and that's the main reason that they're here. There's an adequate food source. But quite often, we don't know all the reasons for that. As summer progresses, the young dog foxes will move right out of the territory, sometimes in a dead straight line, for unless it's they hit a village or a river or a main road, and they can go 5, 6, 7 miles and set up a new territory where there's no competition. Because dad, we don't know if it's sort of parental aggression or just food shortage or just instinctive that they do that. And the young vixens, they might have a sister nearby or an aunt, but the vixens will often stay in the same territory that they were born in. And that, so it's really interesting starting to understand the behaviour of foxes. And they also make a whole vocabulary, because I've got a raft of recordings right through to midwinter, where you have the vixens screaming and you have the eerie sound going through the woodland carried on the cold night air for a mile or more. And often people will ring the local police up and say, I think somebody's being murdered at the end of my garden, and it's just the vixens calling. And then often the dog fox will reply either a triple bark or a quadruple bark, but when they're close together, and I've managed to record this, they have a kind of clicking noise. It sounds more or less like a football supporter's rattle going. It's a clicking noise, and it's called geckering. It's got its own special name.
When was the last time you went to football?
I've never been to a football
match. They don't have rattles anymore, but certainly they used to, didn't they?
Oh, I'm that much out of date, am I? Oh, right. Oh, dear.
No, but I know they used to have the things that they whirled around.
Whirled around.
Clack, 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 clack.
Yeah. Anyway, this is called geckering. We'll edit the football reference.
No,
out.
I enjoyed it.
No, I'm 50 years out of date, but I do know that, so that's all right. So it's really interesting watching how this family mechanism works and all the talking they do to each other. It's quite nice, actually, when you hear adult foxes meeting. And the males in the mating season, around about the shortest day, around about mid to late December, the vixens come into season and mate. And it's a lovely sort of chattering sound, which we call geckering. We don't fully understand all the meanings of all the different tones and sounds that they make. But nevertheless, they're very good mums. And the dad, the dog fox, will still be in the area, and he'll be catching rabbits, and he'll have a particular area around here where he will catch his prey. He won't come back to the earth here where the young fox cubs are, but he will bury the prey, and the vixen will know where that is, and we call that a larder. So he might find a nice hen pheasant that's been sitting on a nest. He might find some young rabbits, and what he does, he digs a little hole with his paws. He pops the prey in and then covers it back up with his nose and prods the soil just to firm it down so that there's no sort of scent escaping. Because foxes' food, by virtue of it, is quite perishable. So they, you know, often they do eat sort of food that we would call past its best, is true, roadkills and things like that. But they, it's quite perishable. So they, this is why they have this instinct in them to actually kill more than they need. So if they get in the, your chicken's coop, they will kill all the chickens and take three or four away perhaps, and perhaps leave some back there for collection on another day. And that's what infuriates if you're keeping chickens down the end of the garden and a fox gets in there. And also the same happens out in the countryside with game birds. You know, gamekeepers have a marked aversion to foxes, to say the least. They're trapped, poisoned, shot. So, and road casualties account for a huge amount of them. So at High Ash, I don't do any controlling at all. I've got lots of pheasants here. And it's just part of that tapestry of having the whole variety of wildlife here, which I've fallen in love with, and I'm now quite protective of it, whether it's prey or predator. It's just a lovely balance.
And it finds its equilibrium, and the rabbit population, as you said earlier, are healthy apart from down here.
It's controlled for free, yes. But the rabbits seem to have legged it, or coming out on the other side of the wood to avoid the attention.
The young foxes.
But I was quite amused because at the back of the track where I had the camera, there's quite a large bramble patch, and the young rabbits have been running in and out of there. And I noticed there was this tiny pair of eyes reflecting back from the camera. Daniel zoomed in on the footage that I've got, and it was one of these young fox cubs was just sitting watching, and because it's not old enough to catch its own prey yet. I mean, it's only about 8-9 inches from nose to tail long. They're diminutive little creatures and still got their black coats on. But I'm going to try and get some nice footage in daylight, because they will come out and play. It's particularly in low sunshine. We've got some warm weather at the beginning of this week coming, and so hopefully we'll have some nice footage to enjoy. And I mean enjoy, because they're mammals and that's what we are. So, you know, I feel particular affection for the foxes, because they've been persecuted and still are for so long. And if you're able to stand back and just let nature take its course, you have a balance. So I'm not overwhelmed with foxes on the farm. You know, they're not hundreds, they're not even tens, but they form a hierarchy. They're quite territorial, and it kind of balances out. And also with the prey species, I get free rabbit control, and the buzzards are tucking in as well, and of course the stoats from last week. But it's all that knitting together, that tapestry, which is what I've fallen in love with.